At the turn of the last century, Florence Foster Jenkins was a New York phenomenon where she rose to fame for her annual sold-out recitals at the Ritz-Carlton and Carnegie Hall. Crowds went wild when Mrs. Jenkins tackled the most difficult arias in opera, festooned in fabulous costumes. The only trouble was Mrs. Jenkins could not sing. Well, not really a note. Still, Florence, a YouTube sensation far ahead of her time, could not be deterred from her dedication to music and voice lessons with her accomplished and compassionate accompanist, Cosme McMoon. That's like a great theater name, isn't it? Souvenir is a play by Stephen Temperley about Florence Foster Jenkins and Cosme McMoon. It is currently running at Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York. The production is directed by their producing artistic director, Maggie Mancinelli Cahill. Jonas Cohen plays the aforementioned compassionate accompanist, Cosme McMoon, and it's a great pleasure to welcome you to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Pleasure for me.
Very, very fun to have you here. You know, I don't know how much you were told, but we here at WAMC, we have a very soft spot in our hearts and souls for Florence Foster Jenkins.
Really?
Because during our fun drive, when Alan is pitching and has a moment where people just are not giving money, you put on a little Florence Foster Jenkins,
and it wins
as a treat. As a treat, of course.
It is a treat.
And the phones start ringing.
Who would have thought? Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that someone with a voice quite like that would, so many years later, 70-odd
yes.
years later, is
well,
still winning
once. Alan thought it was. Alan thought of that, and it was a brilliant step because it's worked quite well over the years. But anyway, so how did you come to this production?
Well, originally, the actress playing Florence Foster Jenkins, Georgia Osborne, she and I were cast opposite one another in a production in Vermont about 3 or 4 years ago, and we had a lot of success with it. Our chemistry and, combined with the writing, wonderful writing and direction, it was sort of a perfect storm, and everything came together. We had a very successful production that was extended, and we invited our artistic director and director, Maggie Cahill, to come see the production, and she really enjoyed it so much that she decided she wanted to program it at Capitol Rep when a slot became available, and here we are. And it's been wonderful. We've had fantastic audiences. I'm just thrilled. And the laughter that we're getting, more than I even anticipated, it's been great.
Where did you play in Vermont?
The Westin Playhouse.
Do you
know
okay.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, we know it very well. Sure. Our good friend Steve Stettler there.
Yeah.
The whole crew. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So work there, and then you decided to bring it here.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
When what is it about the story, do you think, that is so fascinating in the sense that here is a woman that rose to such great fame with so little talent?
You know, I think it's, as you said, I think it has a lot to do with, our playwright put it very well. He said there's a difference between courage and confidence. And, some people have one or the other, and I think maybe she has both. She has courage and she has confidence, and I think that really appeals to audiences, that no matter what people may say, that she's going to... I think Florence herself very famously said, people can say that I can't sing, but no one can say that I didn't sing. Mm. So she just so firmly believes that she can do what she does well, and I think audiences are really attracted to that part of the story.
So for your part as Cosme McMoon, who is the accompanist, what is the part he plays in the story?
I'm sort of the stand-in for the audience in a way. You know, the first time we hear her sing is the first time that Cosme hears her sing. And all of the things that the audience probably would think and feel if they themselves were in this position, hearing her sing, that's sort of how Cosme functions. But the story really focuses a lot on Cosme, and it's told in flashback. He narrates the story, and he says, well, this is what it was like. And he shares the story bit by bit, how he met her, and slowly but surely kind of fell in love with her and her artistry.
How did the two come together?
Well, he was, according to our play, he was recommended by a friend, his aunt, his friend's aunt needed an accompanist. And he needed a job. He was a struggling artist, down on his luck, looking for the next gig to pay the bills between gigs. And they found themselves together. And she had many accompanists in real life. Florence had many accompanists over the years. And Cosme was just the one who, I guess, could accompany her the best, in, I think, both heart and soul, as well as musically. You know, he was, I think, was able to, there were other accompanists who maybe might have poked fun at her behind right. her back, and he was not like that. He protected her and cared for her in a way.
And understood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And respected her.
It is a play. It's not a musical.
That's right. Yeah. A play with music, I guess you could say.
Yes. So you do address the elephant in the room, for want of a better term, of the music that is going on at this time.
Yeah, it comes to a, we hear her sing selections from De Fledermaus and Così fan tutti and the Magic Flute, all these wonderful, wonderful operas, and some more modern standards, Gershwin and whatnot. And we hear things sort of finally come to a head, and yeah, absolutely, as you say, yeah, the elephant in the room is definitely addressed, and I think that's where a lot of the comedy comes from.
So tell us a little bit about Georgia Osborne, who plays Florence Foster Jenkins.
Oh, I couldn't say enough kind things about her. Georgia has such a warm, open heart. I wish I could tell you a lot about her credits. She is a trained opera singer herself, yeah. And has worked on Broadway a few times, and has worked regionally as an actress and singer. And she's worked with Renee Fleming and has appeared at Carnegie Hall. She has quite a pedigree as both a singer and actress. I'm very fortunate to work opposite her. But that, for me, the most exciting and wonderful thing about it is working with someone who is as warm and open-hearted as she is, which works very, very well for that character, as you can well imagine.
What is it like to does she talk about what it's like to as someone who can sing, who is toning it down, let's say, for this performance?
Yeah, people often ask her, how do you do it? How do you sing badly? I think, you know, any one of us could sort of, we could just sort of fake it, right? But Georgia has this real innate ability to sing just off pitch enough. It's so bad it's good. It's her ability to almost hit a note. I think you hear the piano as she does, and then she consciously selects a quarter tone off or a half pitch just above. And occasionally maybe she'll actually hit a right note, but she's like always just off. She plays with rhythm, she plays with tempo, she plays with pitch. And she used to do a cabaret act based on Mrs. Miller, mm-hmm. who, as maybe some of your listeners know, very famously in the 60s, sang. She was an opera singer herself and would sing the hits of the day and not sing them very well, but also had that same kind of courage and confidence. And didn't know that people were kind of chuckling at her, enjoying her, but chuckling at her. And Georgia, for years, has done this cabaret act where she does an impression of Mrs. Miller. So it's sort of in her blood to be able to do this kind of bad singing well.
What is it, the message then of the show is that you just forge ahead, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it asks the question, as artists, what is it that we, it's not so much about, what do I have to say? I have something, I want to express myself artistically, but do I have anything to say? And which is kind of a deep thing to ask, but yes, you're right. It's probably mostly focuses on courage and confidence and how far it can get you. Mm-hmm. And I think Cosme, who maybe sees himself as not, who thinks of himself as a really talented artist, struggles, and he doesn't achieve the same kind of recognition and fame. And he, unwittingly finds himself hitched to her star, and he goes all the way to Carnegie Hall with her.
And that is really the cool thing. I mean, that's where that this story brings you ultimately, to Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, it's from this meteoric rise over the 12 years of their collaboration together that culminated in what historically is still one of the best sold performances ever. I think somewhere between 2,000 to 5,000 people were turned away from the performance. They couldn't get in, and lots of celebrities attended, and it's probably Carnegie Hall's most renowned concert of all time.
Talk a little bit about Stephen Temperley and working with him and being in on that process of really from the ground floor.
He's been very generous, really, really very generous. You know, I think his play is very popular, and has been produced quite a bit around the country. And that said, he could spend a lot of his time going around to, you know, from theater to theater, sort of guiding and right. And whatnot. And I don't think I think he's been very good about sort of letting his play go and letting other people interpret it. But that said, he has been very generous in answering our questions about this. The play, although based in fact, is a fantasia. There are lots of things about Florence that we don't know. How did she, in fact, know that she was a bad singer, or it was just a goof on her audiences? And Stephen has been really terrific in spending time with us, answering our questions, and he was there answer questions from the audiences, and he came and just saw, he surprised us at a Saturday matinee just last week and took a bow with us, and it's been really marvelous to have a playwright involved with us, you know, so closely, and he really likes our production very much, and he's sort of given us his stamp of approval, his endorsement, which I couldn't be more thrilled about. Yeah.
And when you get that opportunity to ask questions, which I mean, obviously is different than if you're doing like Death of a Salesman or something. I mean, it's an opportunity to know intent, to know not really feedback as much as it just is that's something that can inform your performance.
It's funny, there are so many times as an actor where, you know, I would say to him, you know, I think this moment means, and he'd say to me, well, it's not quite as deep as that.
Yeah, maybe you're overthinking it.
Exactly. You know, I think there's, you know, I was so thrilled and I think very starstruck, quite frankly, to have him there. And but he was very generous, and he's an actor himself, you know, and has a lot of performance experience and Broadway experience and West End experience. And so he was able to sort of, as maybe not all playwrights might have this gift, was able to interpret things in an active vocabulary for us as well, which is very helpful.
Well, Souvenir runs at Cap Rep in downtown Albany through Sunday, March 22nd. For more information, you can go to capitalrep.org. Capital Rep, spelled with an A, capitalrep.org. And again, the show runs through Sunday, the 22nd of March. Jonas Cohen, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck, and have a wonderful remainder of the run.
Thank you so much, Joe. Great
to
meet you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.